Many places in America, which are run by the left, are seeing record crime. And in many cases, we have crime and no punishment. The founders of America said that the most important function of government is the protection of the citizens. But it seems as if many today want to protect the rights of the criminals above the rights of the innocent. But listen to this quote from GuardianAngels.com. Do not believe for even one moment that things must always be the same way they are now, end quote. Curtis Sliwa of New York City founded the Guardian Angels in 1979, and he joins us on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Curtis, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, my hands across America to you down in Florida. Hopefully you don't get too hard, hit hard by that hurricane.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, we're on the part which is not in the cone this particular time. So we pray for those who are on the western part, like maybe Tampa and in that area. But as far as the issue of crime, it seems like, I mean, you've been dealing with this issue since 1979 officially as an organization. But now it seems like it's skyrocketing. It's even worse than it was maybe in the 70s.
Well, it's gotten so bad, and I think the number one problem is that the swagger man with no plan who got elected mayor of the city of New York, Eric Adams, versus myself, said that he would get control of the crime problem, and he hasn't. And what's adding to it is the invasion of illegal aliens from across the border from Mexico to Texas. Now they're on buses coming to New York City. Many of them probably drug dealers, some of them gang members. And this is just going to add to the problem because we don't have a handle on this, even though we criticize the border states, we criticize GOP governors like your own DeSantis, Abbott in Texas. We are just overwhelmed now, and it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Well, how about a comment on the idea that some are basically seeing no punishment for their problems or for their crimes? For example, wasn't there a guy with a hatchet in New York City terrorizing people in a McDonald's, and then he goes into jail, he got arrested, and he was out within hours?
Yeah, the hatchet man, this occurred in a place downtown Manhattan where on the weekends all the hipsters and millennials descend upon it. They go to the clubs, the bars, the restaurants, to the wee hours of the morning. He goes into the McDonald's. It was packed. He tries to hit on some of the women. They object. Their boyfriends start hitting him in the back of his head. He seems to have calmed down. He seems like he's ready to leave. Then he pulls a tomahawk, sharpened tomahawk, out of his backpack. He starts busting up to McDonald's, threatening people. And then in this one part of the video that is horrifying, he has a woman trapped up against the wall. And it's like Clockwork Orange. And then he very calmly gets up, walks off, and gets arrested about an hour later. Now, in the interim, you had a lot of young men there. They didn't at all get involved and try to save that woman. Instead, they were filming it on their iPhones and their smartphones. And that was the length of their involvement, which is making a lot of these criminals that much more empowered. There's no response from the cops. As you pointed out, he was released on his own recognizance. The judges are cutting him loose. So it's going to be up to the people to have to take matters into their own hands, as it was once before when I started the Guardian Angels back in 1979.
Can you explain about this no bail type policy that we're seeing, or these guys get arrested and then they basically get out within hours? I don't understand how that could be, especially if there's even maybe like in some cases, maybe these are murderers or would be murderers.
Yeah, the difference in New York State is that unlike other states that have no bail provisions, like nearby New Jersey, and there are other states, those states allow a judge, a man or a woman in black regal robes, to ultimately make the final decision. If the suspect is a danger to themselves or anyone else, they can be remanded to jail, and there's no discussion of bail. But New York State is the only state that says a judge cannot make that decision. You must cut them loose on their own recognizance. And as a result, we've had a crime wave here that has caused not only the criminal justice system to collapse, but law enforcement, the police, who were already pounded after the summer of 2020 when we defunded the police by $1 billion. We never put the money back. Their morale is at an all-time low. They're not at all proactive. They're reactive. And this city is now being run by criminals, and not just in the crime-infected areas that we saw before, but in neighborhoods that never before experienced these kind of crimes.
Are you allowed to defend yourself? Are you allowed to fight back legally?
Well, you saw the one case that went viral of the Dominican bodega guy behind the counter who had to deal with a black man who came over the counter and harassed him and threatened him and tried to drag him out. God only knows what would have happened. And Jose Alba pulled the knife out that all the clerks there used to protect themselves. It's a very dangerous, violent, high-crime area. Stabbed the suspect repeatedly, killed him. And the guy's girlfriend pulled the shiv out of her pocketbook. He started the whole problem to begin with and stabbed Jose Alba. He was left to rot in jail with a $250,000 bail over his head, charged with second-degree murder. Public pressure caused him to be released. But generally, if you fight back in New York City, you are branded a vigilante. Now, where you are in Florida, I've seen county sheriff after county sheriff conduct press conferences and explain to the public, we'll never have enough men and women to respond to your 911 calls. If you want to get a gun, we encourage you to do it. We'll train you how to use it. If they come through your door, shoot them. And if they're dead, so be it. What a change from New York, where the criminals have all the protection of law enforcement, the criminal justice system, and Florida, where clearly your criminal justice system and the cops are behind the citizens and the victims.
You know, it's funny. I remember years ago being in New York City during the time of Mayor Dinkins, and I remember somebody in a neighborhood we were even filming at, you know, for Christian TV, there had been a shooting overnight. So we were there for at least a couple of days, and there had been a shooting just in that neighborhood. Then fast forward maybe 5 years later, I came when Giuliani was the mayor, and it seemed like everything had just gotten so much better. He made that city not crime-free, but it was the criminal element was greatly reduced. It would be nice to see that happen again in New York City.
Well, remember, it took a few different horrific events for Rudy Giuliani to be elected mayor against David Dinkins. The entrenched Democrat was elected in 88. Giuliani ran against him. 4 years later, 2,000 murders a year, 5,000 unsolved shootings. And Rudy Giuliani, the Republican, was barely elected against Dinkins. And in 8 years, he took the murder capital of America, the crime capital of America, New York City, and turned it into the safest big city in America. Had I been elected mayor, I didn't have to come up with a new plan, a new idea. I would have just used the template left behind by the greatest mayor in our lifetime, Rudy Giuliani.
You know, it's interesting, too, because one of the things, that as I understand that he did, he had that theory, the broken glass theory that he followed. If there was graffiti that was put on, one of the metro buses or the subway system, he would have it cleaned right away. Because if you let that, you know, graffiti fester or whatever, people would think, oh, you know, they don't care. The broken glass theory is the idea that, okay, let's say you've got a street and there's an abandoned building on the street. If somebody breaks a window in that and nobody repairs it right away, then others will break the window in that. They think nobody cares. So it's almost strange, but it's like the little things are what count. Giuliani came down hard on the turnstile hoppers, those who wouldn't pay the small fee to get on the subway. Well, if they're going to break that crime, maybe they're going to break other crimes and maybe even rob somebody on the subway. So why don't you wax eloquent on what needs to happen in New York City?
Well, that was zero tolerance, and it worked so effectively. You start with the quality of life violations, and that will prevent the more violent crimes. When they were stopping fare evasion, so you would have these young men who would not pay their subway fare or bus fare. It's like back then, it's like $2. And then when the cops caught him, they'd have guns on him. They'd have a pocket full of $100 bills. And the cops could say to him, why didn't you pay your fare? Oh, I don't pay my fare. So it made it very easy to prevent crime, to stop crime, and arrest people who then might have gone on to commit more violent crimes. The other thing that Rudy Giuliani did that never really received credit, let's say you were guilty of a simple violation, public urination, or you were drinking in public. You would be brought into the local precinct, and you would sit down in the detective's room. Now, remember, you haven't committed a violent crime, and you probably were never in a precinct in your life, so you're scared. So the cops would come in and say, hey, you know of any crimes happening in your neighborhood? And naturally, they would give it up. They wouldn't take the code of Omerta. They wouldn't say that snitches get stitches and end up in ditches. They would say, yeah, this guy Harry down the block, he's selling hot goods out of the back of his grocery store. And then they'd be able to go out and solve more serious crimes because the people they would take in for questioning would always answer the questions. They wouldn't plead the fifth. And it would help solve crimes of more significance. So again, it wasn't the drip-down theory. So you solve the big crimes and then you'll solve the smaller crimes. No, it was always solve the small crimes and it will lead to making arrests for the more serious crimes, the crimes that were causing a million people to flee New York City between 1975 and 1992.
Wow, that's interesting. I wonder if there were more people that came back under Giuliani and then later Bloomberg. Bloomberg, it seemed, essentially followed in Giuliani's footsteps as best I could see.
Yeah, no, Bloomberg just kept the same template. He didn't mess with it. The other successful measure that Bloomberg utilized that Giuliani had implemented was stop and frisk, which is essentially you go into a high crime area, and when you saw teenagers congregating, you knew that many of them might be up to no good. So the cops would start, they would stop you, they would question you, and then if they were somewhat concerned about your answers, they would put you up against the wall and frisk you. And a lot of young men would look at that and say, nah, I'm not going to be carrying my gun or knife or drugs out in the streets because these cops are all over us. It kept the crime down. Now, there's no stop and frisk. And so a young man could actually be caught in a borough like Brooklyn, the largest of the five boroughs, with a loaded 9mm. He gets arrested. Cops do their job. And then the local DA sends the person to a diversion program. They never even face the prospect of jail. They basically cross their heart, hope to die, say, I'll never do it again. And they get released. And they go back out to their friends and they say, I couldn't believe this. I thought for sure I was going away for a year or more. And you go to diversion, which just continues the cycle of violence and the guns and the gun shootings and then the retaliatory attacks and revenge for what was done the first time. And a cycle of violence that has led to Fear City in New York City again.
Wow, I imagine the murder rate is up then at this time.
Yep, no, murder, shootings, everything is up. Believe it or not, as bad as Mayor de Blasio was, and for 8 years he took a wrecking ball to the city that I love, it is actually more unsafe under the so-called law and order cop, Eric Adams, a guy who ran on the fact that he was a police officer for 22 years, and then it is now. Now it's worse than it was under de Blasio. And I didn't think it could get any worse than it was under de Blasio's 8 years.
Okay, your website is guardianangels.org. We have 20 seconds for a closing thought on crime and no punishments.
Yeah, no, this is going to continue to happen. It's going to get worse before it gets better. It's called pain compliance. People are going to have to realize you have to start electing Republicans on a law and order platform. If you don't, they'll just be more of the same.
All right, Curtis Liwa, thank you so much, and keep up the great work.
Oh, anytime. My pleasure.